first day of fall, everybody. This is the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 1071, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything entertainment, Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
And, you know, in honor and celebration of the first day of autumn, I was wondering what kinds of things people love about the fall. 651-641-1071. Because today it begins. And I know that we had a little taste of the weather last week, and it's kind of warmed up, but we still know fall has arrived.
Fall has fallen.
Fall has fallen. Autumn is among us. What is your favorite thing about fall? 651-641-1071. And Holly, feel free to interrupt us whenever a call comes in.
Well, we do have a call in.
Well, perfect. Let's take that call.
Let's go to Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mayor.
Mary, what is your favorite thing about fall?
Well, no bugs, number one.
Yes.
True. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the pumpkin spice, and then Christmas flavors come out. I love peppermint coffee, chocolates. Peppermint anything.
Isn't it interesting? Thank you for your call, Mary. Isn't it interesting how like the flavors are so iconic? Like we know when you say the flavors of fall or the flavors of winter, exactly what flavors we get to experience.
Yeah.
And that is something I look forward to as well.
Weird.
Is it?
It is.
651-641-1071. What are you looking forward to about fall? It's soup season.
I do like soup.
Right?
I like soup all year long. I'm not a seasonal souper.
But do you love soup more when it's cool outside?
I'm not weather specific when it comes to soup like some people.
That was cute. I'm actually, as we're talking, I'm flipping through soup recipes.
Yeah, no, look, I like soup. I like all those things. It's not going to take away from the fact that there's no sunlight. So you can just have all your pumpkin spice lattes and your snuggy moments and your candles and your campfires. But I'm over here in the corner crying because there's no more daylight.
I do wish we could have all the fun things of fall and keep the daylight.
Yeah.
Right? 651-641-1071. What do you love about fall? Brad, do you love anything about fall?
Oh, I do love fall. Okay. Yeah. I will say I'm more, the things that I enjoy about fall are like the lack of bugs, and the trees are pretty for a while when the leaves turn. Yeah, I think that's pretty. I do enjoy that. driving to work.
I also like bundling up. Like, I like putting on a sweater without bundling up. I like being able to walk outside in a chunky sweater.
Yeah.
And not having to get out the down jacket, mm-hmm. and the mittens and the hat and the scarf and the boots and warm your car up and still wish that you would just never have to go outside. Who do we have on the line now, Halls?
We have Jake.
Hi, Jake. Jake, what do you love about fall?
I'm a scarf guy, and I like any excuse to throw on a scarf.
Excuse to throw on a scarf. And actually, like, can't the scarf kind of double as a face mask now?
I suppose that's kind of the new trend, huh?
Yeah, just wrap it around a few times and head out, and you're safe.
Safe and stylish.
I love it. Thanks for your call, Jake.
So, Holly, you tweeted something about fall having an aggressive fandom, Holly. And
yes.
I think you said this earlier.
Yes.
Why is that, do you guys think? Like, what is it about fall versus, say, spring? Like, people don't go, oh my God, it's spring season!
Tulips!
Oh my gosh.
Like,
what
do you think it is about fall? Is it like corporate, like branding experiences, like product? Like, what is it about fall that makes it particularly...
You're right, because fanny. It seems like people would be more aggressively fanny about spring because we're coming out of the cold.
Yeah. But, like, here's the thing. And, you know, hey, sorry, pulling the curtain back. But my sister sent me a picture that she got balloons for her kids to celebrate the first day of fall. And was like showing me pictures with like pumpkins and all these other things. And I'm like, what? You never do this for anything else?
Why? We don't like no other season. In any other season.
Yeah,
this
you're
way.
Not like spring. Yay. Like, it's very aggressive.
Even I would argue even more than like, say, winter. Like I am. Yes. I am. I do. The thing I get excited about this time of year is like the holidays. I'm a like, if I were going to be aggressive about anything, it would be, you know, like once I start listening to Christmas music and once I realize there's no hope for sunlight, you know, then I'm
then the Andy Williams comes on into the dark.
Yeah. Once I've subsumed myself into the darkness that is the fall and winter, that's the thing I get excited about, like irrationally, like it doesn't make any sense. Like, I want to dance around a tree. Okay. Why?
Alrighty.
Andy Williams.
Yeah.
I am an aggressive fall lover, but I actually feel like I do have. I think there's two types of people in the world. There's those who love the transitional seasons, and those who love like summer and winter, right? Because fall is us transitioning from summer to winter.
Yeah.
And spring is the transition back.
Yeah.
So I always think of those as like, I love those transitional seasons. I think they're perfect. The temperature is always great.
Yeah.
I like to have the windows open. So does Taylor, who just emailed us, having the windows open. I like that I don't feel like I have to use the air conditioning or the heat yet. I just feel like we're living in like the perfect temperature.
Yeah.
But I also know that not everybody finds this to be the perfect temperature.
Yeah, I mean, if I were to pick a season, I would pick summer, but because I just think that gives you a little bit of everything. But it just seems interesting to me that fall has like a constituency.
I kind of feel like that's got to be the pumpkin spice talking, because there isn't a major spring flavor that people get so bonkers.
But it's
excited
also
about.
Like fashion. Like you see people starting to wear their like sleeveless down, like all the women with their. You know, their pumpkin spice lattes, their sleeveless down vests, their boots.
Oh, the Han Solo outfit.
Yeah. It's Han very Solo exciting season. When you get to pull out the high boots.
Han Solo season.
It's true. And the tunics. I mean, life is good right now.
Yeah.
You're right.
But
fall
you don't see people going like, oh, I get to wear my spring stuff things.
I think what we in Minnesota do is we jump the gun and go straight to summer fashion. And so suddenly it's 45 degrees in spring and everybody's wearing their summer clothes. You're right. But we do tend to transition more into the winter. It's weird. That is an interesting insight. When we come back, thank you, everybody, for your call.
Fall on your knees.
See, there you are. There you are already in winter. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, we got to get the Cobra Gang together. We got a mystery to solve. This one involves Jeffrey Epstein and a mystery lady who visited him 67 times. We'll talk about it after this on My Talk 107.1. We got to get the Cobra Gang together on the Colleen and Bradley show, My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything Entertainment, Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
And when we have a mystery to solve, we call ourselves the Cobra Gang.
Whenever there's trouble, we're there on the double. We're the Cobra Gang. If you've got the crime, we've got the time. We're the Cobra Gang.
That's nasty. Okay, we need to...
That's nasty.
Thank you. We need to catch up on a story we used to talk about on the regs, but now it's kind of sort of gone out of our, periphery.
How are you doing over there?
We haven't been paying attention.
We haven't
that
been
much.
Paying that close attention to the story of Jeffrey Epstein and the investigation or the court case against Ghislaine Maxwell, his right-hand lady. But... that all changed for me in my head when I saw a story over the weekend about a woman connected with a story that I don't think we've ever heard about or at least given much conversation to. Her name is Nadia Marcinkova. Marcinkova? Ooh. Marcinkova? Marcinkova? Let's call her Nadia.
Okay.
And
because that's her first name.
Because that's her actual name. So there is a story in the Toronto Sun, but then there was some stuff about her over on the Daily Mail. She is one of the sort of models who hung out with Jeffrey Epstein and spent a lot of time at, quote, Pedophile Island, mm-hmm. that private island of Jeffrey Epstein's near St. Thomas, or in St. Thomas, I think, technically. And we all know this because some photos of Jeffrey Epstein at Pedophile Island were published, and she is in those photos. And apparently, I didn't know this, but she had a much closer relationship with Jeffrey Epstein than perhaps we first knew. In fact, some people indicate that she is now being investigated, that she's being targeted by the investigation into Jeffrey Epstein as the ex-model who visited him, get this, 67 times while he was incarcerated.
How long was he incarcerated before he died?
I don't know, but this, I don't know that this was necessarily when he was this is when he was incarcerated in New York, where he ultimately died.
Yeah.
This particular story says while he was incarcerated at Palm Beach County Jail. But that could have taken place before he went to New York, right?
I think it did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, 67 times means that they have a relationship. And so then I started digging into this Nadia person, and it's kind of fascinating. And I think that although she has been able to remain silent up until this point and does not talk to people, we have, you know, evidence, at least from the alleged victims, that she was kind of, I don't want to say kind of, that she was directly involved in, you know, the human and sex trafficking allegations that were brought against Jeffrey Epstein.
Do you know anything about, like, what is her history? Like, how did she find her way into Jeffrey Epstein's life? Or how did he find her way in to his life?
It's particularly gross because it
says... Why am I not surprised?
It says little is known of her background except that she moved to the U.S. when she was 14 or 15 to, get this, work as a model for an agency that was an alleged front for Epstein's sexual antics. So, let me reiterate for you. She moved to the United States when she was 14 or 15 years old to work as a model for an agency that was an alleged front for Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein reportedly claimed that she was his sex slave.
Oh my gosh.
But what I will say, what's interesting, because, you know, so you read about this person, you're like, well, is she a victim or a perpetrator? Because some of the victims say that she was involved in, mm-hmm. you know, getting other young women to do things by the time she had sort of aged out mm-hmm. to then bring other women into this sick system and then would, like, direct those women what to do. So in turn, you know, perpetuating the crimes.
Yeah.
So people are like, is she a victim? Is she a perpetrator? Well, I think it's pretty clear that if any of these allegations are true, it's probably a mix of both.
Well, and that's the thing that is the thing that's so maniacal about this world that Jeffrey Epstein created for himself, is that he did turn his victims into perpetrators. It was all part of this elaborate, I mean, I call it a pyramid scheme, but that's because that's sort of how he ran it. It was that he would recruit people in and make it impossible for them to leave. And then the way that they would continue to live their lives mm-hmm. was to help him with this, I don't know, sex slavery. And the other thing about this story, about any time we talk about Jeffrey Epstein, I think to myself, it can't get more disgusting and evil. And then you hear a story that is more disgusting and evil.
But wait, there's more.
Oh, great.
Okay, so I just wanted to add to this part of the conversation. Again, she has not really talked to anybody. They do say she's now 34. She's a licensed pilot. She runs her own charter flights. She claims to have also been a victim of Epstein, but in the past has refused to comment on the allegations against him. She spoke through her lawyer to, I think this was the Toronto Globe and Mail. Nadia wishes to express her compassion and support to fellow survivors who also fell prey to Jeffrey's predatory abusive behavior. However, in 2010, she was a part of that whole original prosecution, and she was listed as one of those associates of Jeffrey Epstein and potential co-conspirators mm-hmm. that prevented her from being tried because, like, they had this agreement with the government. So, like, Jeffrey Epstein would be fine and some people that assisted him would also be safe from prosecution, right, if he agreed to that. So she was apparently one of those people. And in 2010, when they were, like, when she was sitting for deposition, you know, she was being asked questions in connection with the case. And she was asked at one point, have you ever been made to perform mm-hmm. sexually mm-hmm. on Prince Andrew? And do you know what she said?
Yes, she said yes. Oh.
But what she did say was fifth.
Mm.
What that means?
I'm not going to say it. But it's probably a yes.
She cited her Fifth Amendment, which is an attempt to avoid incriminating yourself.
Yeah.
So there's more to that story.
Oh my gosh.
So we shall be paying attention.
When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, we've got celebrities behaving badly. And oh, look at that. Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein are going to make another appearance after this on My Talk 107.1. Behaving badly. We love to tell you about them on the Colleen and Bradley show. My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hey, kids.
Hey, how's it going? And we have a name for these celebrities behaving badly. That name is
D-Bag.
Presenting Lord and Lady Douchebag of the Day.
I mean, I don't know. Celebrities, yes. Well-known people. Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell.
Oh, God. A dead one.
And I know we just talked about them in the last segment, but we're going to talk about them again because, and like you said, Bradley, we kind of have like let this settle a little bit. We haven't been paying a whole lot of attention to the story. It hasn't moved anywhere.
Yeah.
Really. The story about Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein. But Virginia Giuffre, who was kind of one of the first whistleblowers, or at least kind of public whistleblowers of Jeffrey Epstein, who claims that she spent 2 years as one of his sex slaves at many of his properties, Jeffrey yep. Epstein's. She was on a podcast called Broken Seeking Justice, and she was talking about the kind of girls that Jeffrey Epstein wanted to recruit for this sex slavery ring that he was kind of the head of. And one of the things she says is that he wanted, quote, tanned bodies, petite bodies, and prepubescent bodies.
Ew, nasty.
And she explains that Jeffrey Epstein had the girls on ridiculous diets. She says it was all organic. It was like shaved salmon on a bed of pilaf or couscous and vegetables. It was never carbs. You couldn't fill up. They wanted you to look a specific way. They would fill them up on fruit platters and food that wasn't really food, because the goal was to keep them looking prepubescent.
Ew.
Yeah. And that's why he's my D-bag.
That's nasty.
It's super nasty. And again, like I keep saying, it's when you think you've reached the end of the nastiness and the horror of that story around Jeffrey Epstein, you hear new details that are so disturbing. And that's just one of them. So anyway, D-bags. To put it mildly.
Yeah. That's like really double disgusting D-bag. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was its own brand of D-bag.
Fruit platters, couscous.
Mm-hmm.
How is that supposed to make you look prepubescent, though?
Well, she just said they didn't feed them a lot. They wanted them to have like these lean bodies So they never gave them anything with a lot of carbs that would fill them up. Oh, God. They wanted them to be lean and prepubescent appearing. Gross.
Okay.
Let's move on to another D-bag. That's a sad D-bag.
That's a sad D-bag. Okay, this is a story I don't care about. But the coverage of the story that I don't care about is what makes it a D-bag today. Mm. So I'm just going to give a general broad brush of the media to this D-bag. Have you been following Tarek El Moussa and Christina, her name is now, but not for much longer, Anstead?
I mean, not really. Like, I sometimes watch her show.
And her show HGTV. Is like, Christina on the Coast.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's one of those things to rest your eyeballs on the weekends when you're doing other things.
And aren't they like the original Flipper Floppers?
Yes.
What's their... I don't remember. It doesn't matter. But so, for those of you who know who these people are, I just saw this weird juxtaposition yesterday, which said that Christina Anstead is splitting from Aunt Anstead.
Yep.
That's a thing.
Yep.
And I was like, didn't they just get married?
They did.
It was less than 2 years ago, yeah. In fact, that they got married. And now we're already learning that the two are getting divorced. They've made the difficult decision to separate. Which, you know, I mean, look, I ain't trying to, you know, good luck to
stuff
you,
happens.
Ma'am and sir. But, like, they're celebrities. They're also, it's publationship. I almost said celibationship. And that
that's like a whole other thing.
Celibationship. Come on. Actually, no, you don't get to.
You're going to be celibating.
cute Ollie.
By yourself. Anyway. So I saw the story that they were breaking up, and then literally within the next breath, you saw the following story that Tarek El Moussa had posted a photo of him and his, is it wife, looking happy and super, you know, super content with life. So it was almost sort of like it felt like a finger in the eye, you know, to Christina. Yeah. Like, oh, this.
Like, I'm so sorry about your divorce. Oh. My wife, my happily married wife and I are very sorry that you have another failed marriage.
And Us Weekly in particular stands out because their article is exclusive. Tarek is sad for ex-wife Christina amid her split from Aunt.
Well, he's getting married. So I think the woman that he's with, Tarek, they're getting engaged, and they like to share exclusive nuggets of their relationships to the tabloids.
So they're clearly trying really hard to ride this story for attention, mm-hmm. which is kind of sad, right? He's, quote, sad that Christina's going through a hard time, but he didn't think they would last. I mean, that is just the douchiest thing to say, right? Like, I feel really bad for them, but I could have told you so. I will say, it's pretty, like... I don't know. People who choose to live their life out in public, I mean, don't you kind of open yourself up to being judged by people then?
Well, yeah. Also, HGTV celebrities have their own club.
Yeah.
It's its own breed.
Oh, for sure.
It's a club of HGTV celebrities and sort of Food Network, but not all. Some of them belong in the same bucket, right? And it's...
Like, what bucket is it?
Bucket?
Yeah.
It's the kind of one-trick pony, but want to have a lot of celebrity, but they don't do much else other than flip or flop.
Well, also, it makes me wonder, because we haven't spent much time digging into the publicationships of
HGTV,
so I don't know how much to believe. Like, no doubt there are keen, keen-eyed listeners who are also viewers of HGTV who will be like, well, actually, if you know the real story, Christina Blobbity Blue... Because they're paying attention, right? We're just not paying attention. All I'm seeing is that, like, Christina's getting divorced in less than 2 years, and her ex-husband's like, oh, that's unfortunate. Look at me and my happy fiancé.
Also, I totally saw it coming.
And his fiancé is on Selling Sunset.
Oh, which that is the thirstiest bunch of people. Here's the other thing. I think I've also zeroed in on the kind of HGTV show that I don't love. And it's the kind that also focuses on the relationships of the people on it and not just on the task at hand. So this is one of those where I watch the show and I'm thinking when they're doing family shots is, I don't care about that. Show me the house.
So are you not like a Chip and Joanna Gaines
fan?
No,
I'm not.
Oh.
I know.
Oh,
I know. Oh, I'm sorry. Them's fighting words.
Tell me more.
No, do you know, I'll tell you what my favorite HGTV show is, you guys. And I will just tell you, since March, I have become a pretty big HGTV fan.
Okay.
Because it's the only station where I know I'm going to be able to watch something that I'm going to enjoy.
Yeah. So what do you watch?
So my favorite one is called Hometown.
What is that?
Is that what it's called? Hometown. Okay. It is hosted by Aaron and Ben Napier. They are husband and wife, but they live in this small town in Mississippi, and they love this small town in Mississippi, but some of the homes are starting to get all run down, and it's this beautiful, like, historic town in Mississippi, and so they're rehabbing the town essentially one home at a time. So they will find a family that wants to move. They will show them three homes that are kind of falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
They will tell them what they can do to those homes. And then the family
then picks
the home.
And then they do it.
And it is such a heartwarming show.
I've never seen that show. That's so funny. We actually, every night, Jamie more so than I, his favorite new thing, which I've just now sort of like sucked onto, is House Hunters Renovation. Which is the best of both worlds, because you get the first half of the show is them picking a house. And then the second half of the show is they completely renovate the house they pick. And so you get the, like, the house hunty part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the, you know, renovation part of it.
Well, then I've got the show for you on HGTV. It's called Love It or List It.
Oh, I mean,
I live for that show. I love, but then I get real upset.
But I
see an episode I've already seen, and I'm like, I've already seen this episode. Give me something new, guys.
I am not a fan of that show, and I'll tell you why.
Because of the canned...
because of the characters.
Fake, yeah. The fake fighting
Hillary
that they
and
have.
David. Yeah. And she's like...
She always calls the bathroom boss rooms.
What?
She calls bathrooms boss rooms. I mean, that's part of her... But it's like,
well,
she's saying...
What, like England or something?
Yeah, but it's like she's saying B-A-S-S.
Boss room.
Boss room. Sorry, it's a thing.
Yeah, I just don't... I'm maybe not here for the personalities either.
That's the
mentioned.
Thing. I just am... My response is, for example, Lottery Dream Home... I'm not interested.
Oh, God.
Mostly because...
That show, I can't
okay,
even...
Okay, can we talk about why that's a problem?
Well, because...
Because the sequel is going to end up on Dateline?
Well, because the host...
Right, okay, him.
...is so extra.
Yeah.
And it's so fake, forced interaction. Like, they always... And we call this out all the time whenever watching HGTV shows. Like, especially the couples on... Because we love... House Hunters Renovation,
yep.
But they force them to do to make fake drama. So they'll be like, I really have to have a laundry room. And if I don't have a laundry room, it's a deal breaker. Wouldn't you know, they're not going to get a laundry room, and they're going to have some come to Jesus about how in the end it was, I learned that I didn't need to have a laundry room to be happy. And every time they cut to the camera, they're like, I better get my laundry room. And you're like, you were told to say that by the producer.
Yeah. My biggest frustration on Lottery Dream Home is that these people have won like tens of millions of dollars.
Sometimes they won like $10,000.
Right, that's true. But sometimes when they're big wieners, I think to myself... You for sure you're going to buy like at least $1 million home.
No, they don't.
And then they'll be like, my budget is $200,000. And
which
I'm
is
like,
smart.
What?
It's smart because they're not spending all their money.
Yes, but I'm not here for smart. I'm here for Lottery Dream Home.
Yeah, you want lifestyle.
Sell it to
famous.
Me. Okay, but really, before we go, I do just want to say the best of all of the HGTV shows is Good Bones.
Mm.
What?
Why do you think that?
I just love the things that they do with
those
old
two kind of get on my nerves.
The mother-daughter?
I like the mom.
Oh, wow. I don't know if we can continue this relationship.
I also watched an episode of that show
who
where
knew
they
we had such big feelings about HGTV.
Well, because it's just it's easy
TV.
Yeah, I don't like the forced fake drama.
But they're mother daughter.
So
okay. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, we might need your help for the next thing. We've learned that Project Down and Dirty will be announced tomorrow morning.
Dun, dun, dun.
At 7 a.m.
What's it going to be?
What is it going to be? We'll try to, I don't know, put our heads together
flip
and guess.
Flop?
But
good bones.
What do you think it is? 651-641-1071. What is Project Down and Dirty 2020 Pandemic Edition going to be after this on My Talk 107.1? Project Down and Dirty will be announced tomorrow morning, and we don't know what it is.
No.
Let the speculation begin. This is the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 107.1. Streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything Entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. Translation. Hi.
Hi.
651-641-1071. If you would like to speculate what you think Project Down and Dirty will be this year, we are here for it. Project Down and Dirty Pandemic Edition. Have you given any thought to it, Bradley and Holly?
No, mostly because I can't imagine or fathom what they could put us in or on or near. Like in this moment in 2020, I don't know how you do that. So I'm very curious to see what, you know, challenges they have rigged for us.
So let me just tell you what I know from other people right now. We did get a tweet from Tammy who said, I was thinking a GBBO type thing.
Great British Bake Off.
Oh, okay. But B. Arthur gave a clue of historic importance and that Bradley and Jason would love it and Traffic Kitty would love it most. So she said, a facial hair growing contest? I will lose. Actually, I don't know. Maybe I would win. gave a clue of... Okay, well, first of all, I do want to say this because I'm going to call her out for this. Bea Arthur, every year, does this thing where she tells us who she thinks will love it most and who will love it least.
And it's usually the same people.
And it's usually arbitrary. I really don't think... I think she's just throwing names out there. We have no idea. So what I'm saying is that doesn't mean as much to me as a clue of historic importance. What
so
does that
history
mean?
Of historic importance. Well, that doesn't mean anything. It could mean that it has to do with history or that it could be the first time we've done something.
Okay, then we got this email from another Amy who said, I think it's going to be a game show type thing. 651-641-1071.
Okay, interesting. Tell me more about that.
I know. That's all she said. If anybody else has any ideas, we'll take them. We're here for it.
Annie's here on the line.
Oh, perfect. Hello, Annie. Annie, are you okay?
I am.
What's your guess? What do you think we're doing for Project Down and Dirty this
year? Well, I didn't really believe Bea Arthur when she said who would like it. But as they were rattling off possible ideas, Bea was really... kind of animated about everything until Dawn said a Hamilton takeoff and B just goes yes.
Oh,
interesting.
And then they went on. She didn't elaborate or do anything else, but she answered that in a different way than everything else.
Interesting.
So we're gonna
thank
do
you very much
Hamilton.
I love that. Thank you for that clue.
We're gonna do Hamilton.
Ooh, I mean, I'd be here. That would be really hard.
Well, at least if we're doing it in this moment, we can have the lyrics up probably so we don't have to memorize.
And the bar will be incredibly low.
The torture that was memorizing lines for three and dance moves for three songs.
That was hard.
I still have PTSD on that.
Oh, yeah. But remember how much it paid off.
Well, it was fun, yeah.
We're talking about the Project Down and Dirty musical. Zero. We got zero sleep. It was super great. Also, we were all piled in one hotel room, like 12 people. So I'm hoping that that's not going to happen this year for a number of reasons.
I don't think the governor would allow it.
I don't think it'll happen. Project Down and Dirty 2020 Pandemic Edition. What are people's guesses? Any other calls, Holly?
One moment, please.
Oh, okay. Sounds
so
good.
So do you have any ideas?
Well, I keep on thinking about... I mean, it's... Okay. Off the air, B. Arthur said to me that she thought we would like it, which isn't such a huge stretch because we're kind of, what people don't know is we're the easiest to please. We're like little puppy dogs. We show up, they throw a treat at us, we're good. As long as we get fed, we're fine, right? So I don't know. It's got to be something acty or singy.
I mean, I do think that's possible, right? Like, you could do a musical thing, like Zoom style, like we're all showing up and singing and dancing and kicking and stretching. I really don't. My voice is crap, but I mean,
that's not true.
No, but what I could make up for with, you know, kicking and stretching and wearing a funny costume, I don't think that's going to work this year.
Yeah, I just, the thing that's so, I will say this, whatever it is, I will marvel at our management's ability to put something together during this very challenging time.
Yeah.
I will celebrate the creativity that has taken for them to assemble whatever this is.
Well, it's always been fun, so it'll be something fun. It's just I'm curious how we're gonna do things together apart.
We have some speculation
on
that.
Let's take it. Who do we have?
Let's go to Alicia.
Hi, Alicia. We have about a minute. What do you think Project Down and Dirty will be this year?
Something around you guys helping to rebuild the damaged parts of historical Minneapolis.
Ooh. I love that idea, Alicia. Thank you for your call. Do we have another one that we can take real quick, Holly?
Annie, we can go to real quick.
Annie, we'll take you real quick. What is your guess?
I was on the same thing. You're going to be outside, probably cleaning up Lake Street, probably doing a small business drive to get Minneapolis going.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your call, Annie.
Good idea.
I like these ideas. Well, here's the good news.
We'll find out tomorrow.
At this time, we'll be having a conversation about what it actually is. But we also know that tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock sharp, everybody will be tuned in to MyTalk 107.1 because that is allegedly when we will learn what Project Down and Dirty 2020 Pandemic Edition. And by the way, is this our 10th year? No.
I think
then we have to count, and that's always hard.
Math.
Counting is hard.
I think
it is,
too.
So let's start State Fair, Mall, Musical.
Restaurant.
Rock Band.
Zoo.
Comedy.
I lost my fingers.
Art.
This is number nine. Number nine. Okay. We'll find out tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock on MyTalk 107.1.
Tune in live
to the morning show. They will tell us. All right. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, COVID killed Sizzler.
Oh, God.
Oh!
Sell it.
What was your favorite restaurant chain as a kid? 651-641-1071. What was your favorite restaurant chain as a child? We'll take your calls after this on MyTalk 107.1.